Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The business of America is small business, and I welcome my colleague and friend Gene Marks. He is the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper UK and US edition, as well as for our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other distinguished publications. And we look at the story of the whole country now, responding to what we're told is a mild recession ahead of us, somewhere just out of reach. And yet, Gene, a very good evening to you. The report this week of the Consumer Price Index was a surprise to many because it shows that the trend for inflation is clearly down and that the work of the Federal Reserve the last year to raise interest rates 10 times is working. I don't know if we're in that zone where we can debate soft landing or hard landing, but did you take from this number? And there was a core number that was higher, I understand. Did you take from this number that small businesses can be heartened by this, that they can begin to see that we might not be headed down? Good evening to you, Gene.
Hi, John. You know, there was a period of time, as you and I were talking over the past 2 years, where as inflation every month was going up and up, you know, and you could almost, you know, the sense of panic was palpable. You know, people were concerned, like, when will this end? How far is it going to go? The Fed itself took a while to respond to it, while all sorts of economists were, you know, Jamie Dimon to Larry Summers were yelling that the Fed needs to do something. The Fed did start doing something. It has had an impact on the supply of money, and that coupled with an overall slowdown around the world, when you slow down demand for money, it has an impact on the value of that money. So all of that has kind of come together to bring inflation more under control. And we're seeing that, you know, we're seeing that play out right now. When I look at the trends and where inflation is going, I am heartened by the fact that it is more in control. Clearly, it is not down to the 2% level that the Fed is targeting. But John, I don't know if you took economics in college, but when I did, like, 2% was really low. Like, I was, you know, I was always taught, like, a healthy inflation was, you know, 3 to 5%, really. Like, was, you know, a healthy growth in price is not a bad thing. But the Fed is targeting 2%. We're right now at about 3 to 4%, which I actually think is not a bad level of inflation. The issue is that, you know, there's been such significant price increases over the past 2 years that most small business owners, while they're heartened to see inflation level out, are still grappling with much higher cost structures. So they're dealing with higher, you know, higher core materials prices, higher labor prices, higher utility prices, higher, you know, rents in many cases as well, now higher interest rates. So they're still dealing with a cost structure that is much different than it was just 2 years ago. And they're trying to get their arms around that. And they're catching up to that reality. The good news is, though, is that inflation, you know, it's not going up further. It's not out of control. We feel as if there are steps being taken. And, you know, let's not forget that inflation is all about anticipation. It's all about, you know, perceptions. If people are perceiving that prices are going to be going up, then they will naturally, you know, raise their own prices to keep up with, you know, keep up with the Joneses. It's all about anticipation. And right now, because we've had a number of months where inflation has been declining, most companies that I talk to, most of the CEOs and most of the owners of companies aren't, you know, they're not expecting inflation to increase at the levels that we saw before. And because of that, those expectations are being built into their own cost structure. They're not raising prices, and that has a good effect. It means that we don't carry on with more inflation. So, you know, again, it's good news. Businesses are still struggling to get their arms around a higher cost structure, but we're certainly heading in the right direction. And I think we can all be grateful for that.
Gene, I recall in the winter of 22, after you'd been traveling, you came back to say, I don't know about this idea that inflation is checked, because I'm hearing increases out there are not just 10%, they're 20%, 30%, even higher. Now, after 10 hikes, we have a PPI, which is producer price, that's the wholesale prices paid, going up just 0.1%. Do you hear from your small business customers, especially the associations, that they're feeling chipper, that what they were warning about, and they were right, in the winter of 22, are they now saying, you know, I think we're out of this?
They're breathing a sigh of relief. They are seeing that. They are still grappling with higher costs. They're still grappling with higher labor costs. They're still grappling with higher interest costs right now. But the complaints that I was hearing, the fear that I was sensing back in 2022, as inflation kept going up and up and up, and what they were paying was a lot more than what the government was reporting. When you looked at like some of these core materials, there was a lot of concern out there, and that concern has been easing a lot. It really has been. Having said that, though, again, when I speak to these associations, I look around the room and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, producer prices now are only increased 0.1%. They're still seeing increases in a lot of their core materials that are more than that. But they're not at the levels than what we saw a year and a half ago. And, you know, again, because of that, their biggest issue now is getting their arms around just an overall higher cost structure and meeting that.
Construction, that's a big tell for small businesses, and it's going in different directions. Do you find positives here?
Well, there's, you know, I look at something that comes out every month from the Dodge Construction Network called the Dodge Momentum Index, which monitors both commercial and residential construction. And although residential construction still is holding its own, commercial construction numbers have been declining of late. And even the institutional components of that is what's concerning that. That's, you know, education and healthcare construction. There are, you know, the hot spots in construction and the construction industry right now are things like, you know, data centers and hotel plannings. Chip manufacturing and other manufacturing facilities are definitely under construction. Warehouses, not as much, because a lot of warehouse space was created during COVID. And I think a lot of companies are catching up with that. But the commercial construction, you know, industry is definitely facing some headwinds right now. And, you know, that's a concern to me because there are a lot of small businesses that are dependent on that industry. The other thing that the commercial construction industry, you know, and commercial real estate industry in general are dealing with is just rents and lack of occupancy in their buildings. There's only so long that these people can maintain mortgages when they've got their you know, leaseholders, their companies that are reducing space in their buildings because not as many people are coming to the offices as they once were. And I don't know if you see the same thing, John. I mean, I was in New York last week, and although New York is recovered, it's certainly not as busy as it was before the pandemic. And those office buildings, even midweek, particularly on Mondays and Fridays, they are not occupied like they used to be.
No, that is not solved. And I don't believe, I think this is the new normal where we are now.
It is. And it changes change. And so the question that a lot of these people are going to have to deal with is, what do you do? And I plan on writing about this, offering some ideas, but what do you do with all this available space? It's the same thing in most major cities. So on the construction side, people aren't really that thrilled about building new office projects anymore. You know, they're more into building data centers and potential hospitals or hotels. But, you know, for the existing buildings that are out there, a lot of the owners of those builders and the managers are really challenged to figure out what to do with all this available space. And they'll figure it out. I really, there are some options.
I've been reading about Hudson Yards. That was the fantastic construction that was meant to attract very high end. I lived there for about a year. I'm not very high end, but they were renting apartments. The condos and co-ops have not moved. And people are finding it hard to resell them now. It's only, I think I read, 50% sold on the really expensive stuff. It has a beautiful view of the Hudson. However, it was a fresh idea, and it suggests that it's not just the commercial buildings that are not going to refill. It also might be the high-end buildings in Manhattan are not going to fill. It's a mixed story, and we'll watch it develop.
It's an interesting issue, and I just want to say that I think people are going to come up with ideas. There's a lot of homeless people on the street, and if there's something, you know, that's morally wrong about all these people being on the street while you've got office buildings that are half empty all day and night, So maybe something can be done about that. There's a lot of startups that are looking for incubation space. There's schools in Philadelphia that have asbestos or are in old buildings, unsafe buildings. And there's all this space in downtown Philadelphia that could potentially house students. Who knows? I'm optimistic that people will figure out what to do. But in the meantime, the commercial construction industry is definitely very volatile right now.
Unemployment claims are decreasing. The number for jobs gained in May, in June, was positive. The Federal Reserve is said to be watching for jobs. And now we go to a story that is compelling because it's summertime. Jobs and hours grow in Main Street America. This is all going in a good direction, Gene, or is there some trick here?
No, there's no trick here. People are continuing to spend. People still have household savings. The banks have been reporting their earnings and showing that credit card spending has been strong. And delinquencies are still relatively low. So Main Street businesses, restaurants, retailers, shops, they're doing a brisk business. The retail industry has completely recovered from COVID, as has the restaurant industry. I realize there are other industries that are still challenged, but they're hiring and they're still short of staff. And you know, because of that, we're not only seeing this drop in unemployment claims, but we are seeing, now that we are in the middle of the summer here, a lot of these businesses are taking advantage of kids out of school and getting summer help to get work done, special projects. I had three clients that hired high school kids to do nothing more than research opportunities to go after in the Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure bill, because there's so many different grants to apply for and agencies offering money. And they've offered jobs to these kids to do just that. You know, so that's an indication that businesses have extra cash, you know, to bring people on board to do even short term projects like that. And that's a good thing for employment. It gets back to what we said earlier, John, about the overall economy. And the economy itself, we're doing fine right now. The economy is not in bad shape at all.
And we come back to the mystery that I started with. Where is the mild recession?
Right.
And
right.
We don't have answers, but the Federal Reserve doesn't have answers. We're facing a Federal Reserve meeting in 2 weeks. We'll find out more when Jerome Powell takes the podium on after the second day of the meeting. The expectation is that there'll be one more interest rate hike and maybe more, but we're watching for this mild recession. And
the thing that we have to be just very careful to aware of is, as much progress as the Federal Reserve has made, John, we still have between $5 and $6 trillion more in M2 money supply and available cash than we had before COVID. We were once, before COVID, the Fed's balance sheet was $15 trillion, and now it's around $21 trillion. So there's a lot of excess money out there, and that is a big pressure on inflation. So Powell is keeping a very close eye on that because he's got to bring that down. He's got to bring it down.
Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, the UK edition and the US edition, our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. He writes for The Hill. He writes for a number of distinguished publications. When we come back, Gene has a recommendation about for small business owners about retirement legislation. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.